always remember to forgive and forget.
Sorry!
You hit me, I'll get you back!
The game of sorry. Slide, switch, and bump your way home before someone makes you.
Sorry!
And sends you back.
Do we understand?
Sorry!
You hit me, I'll get you back!
Sorry!
Right. Yeah, you like that? Yeah. Is that how your home looked? The game of sorry, right? We're talking about the games of life in Family Month. Kids, welcome. We love you. We're glad you're here. How many of you have ever played the game sorry? A lot more people on this service. It's one of my favorite games. In our family, we play sorry. Sometimes there are kids or kids. I was a little kid, but we play a lot of times when things are kind of tough and difficult. It's actually a great therapy game. It's pretty easy. You hang out. You start doing that. Pretty easy to play and start communicating. So sorry, that game means a lot to me. And how this game sorry works is basically you've got to start, right? You take your little people, you, and you start trying to get out of start and make your way, right? In your rhythms, in your spaces, all the way trying to get home to your destination. Your opponent, what they want to do is they are trying to bump you, right? So they're looking to draw the right card and get the right numbers so they can bump you off course. So wherever they're going, they can get there, get you off course, so you get derailed. And then the game flips in this way that now your responsibility in the game is to exact revenge, right? The game's called Sorry, the game of sweet revenge, right? And so what you're doing is hoping to draw the sorry card. And so as they bumped you and you're waiting, you get that, and then you can bump them, boom, right? Sorry, right? All sarcastic like, and go. So the whole game is about bumping each other in our journey to the place where we have to go. And as I was thinking about that this week, that sounds a lot like life, unfortunately, with us, right? Is we bump each other a lot. You know, we get in each other's space, right? You know, you're at the DMV, right? And hey, I was next and they're there. What's going on? They're in my space. You know, kids, right? Someone cuts in front of you in line, or they invade even your bodily space, and your friend hits you or pushes you too hard. You know, adults, you know, it's even our things, our space. You know, your neighbor borrows a tool from you, right? You don't see it for 6 months. You walk over to his house and it's rusted in the front yard. Right? You know, kids, your friend borrows your video game, they drop it, they break it, or they don't care for it like you. We just get our space invaded in a lot of ways. We get those bumps. But we also get bumped, you know, emotionally, right? You know, for that, you know, people call us names, right? They make judgments of us. They criticize us. They don't agree with our opinion. They don't live by the same standard we live in. They do things different. And all those things becomes these bumps against us. Adults, you'll understand this. Where you can really experience this at, what I've learned, is in the Everett Costco on Sunday afternoons, okay? You know, a lot of you know I moved from Orcas Island, right? Shopping there is pretty pleasant. You know, you just cruise in the aisles there. So we moved here 3.5 years ago and said, okay, we're going to go to Costco. It's a, you know, on Orcas, it's a big deal to be able to go to Costco. You do that monthly and all this. We can go Sunday afternoon. Awesome. Get ready for the week. So we roll in there and it is a full contact sport. And I'm not even exaggerating, okay? Right? Man, people are bumping into you. You're bam, you're flying in. You're trying to grab the orange. They grab the orange. You're flying around. You're getting this line here, and all of a sudden, you know, no, this is my line's going to intersect there, and they get in there, and it's like, mayhem. You know, for you kids, man, a story for mine where I got bumped when I was in first grade. Butch Fishburne, okay, and if Butch, if you're here, if you're out there, Butch, I love you. And it's not a made-up name, I promise. It's a classic bully name, and Butch was that. Butch, okay, I think did first grade about 6-7 times, you know what I mean? So we're all this big and Butch is this big, right? You know that guy? And so back before the days of liability, we had this thing called a merry-go-round. Remember that? It was this big steel machine that you get like 1,000 kids on and try to go as fast as you can. And the big hope was that, you know, well, you wanted people to fly off. That was a success. But you did, and that was okay if you flew off. That's no big deal. You just didn't want to go on the inside. Remember that? You had to lay flat until it stopped. It's terrifying. You don't see those anymore, right? Everything's padded, just way too dangerous. We survived it. You older people, we did it. But here's the deal, okay? Here's the deal. So first grade, big butch, and how you did, you had to wait in line, and then when a kid flew off, right? They got it stopped, you got to come in. And you had to duck underneath, remember? Okay? And so I went to do that, and Butch would take it and he put his foot on my head. Pushed it out there, and so I missed my turn. Someone else got it. And he said some mean things. I won't say what he said, Butch. And I kept trying to get in there. He kept pushing my head down, and I cracked. I went a little nuts, you know? First grade, you ever do that? Like Ralphie Boy in the Christmas Story, right? I jumped in, and all of a sudden I went, whoop, boom! Hit Butch, okay? But you know what hits Butch? I hit Butch, and I was terrified because someone said the worst thing you can hear in first grade, I'm gonna tell on you. I went running into the fort where the girls play, and I hid. Of course, they ratted me out, right? They ratted me out, and I can still remember vividly today with just these blurry tears crying. I didn't mean to hit Butch, okay? But man, everything, I got bumped, and we get bumped. And guess what? But God says, I want you to do it differently, not like the game of Sorry, not like Scott did in first grade. Here's what he says in Romans 12. Do not repay anyone evil for evil. Be careful to do what is right in the eyes of everyone. If it is possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. Do not take revenge, my dear friends. In fact, we're called to actually turn the other cheek. But leave room for God's wrath, for it is written, it is mine to avenge. I will repay, says the Lord. On the contrary, check this, here's what we're supposed to do. If your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him something to drink. In doing this, you will heap burning coals on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. So when we get bumped, we are asked to do something that's, I'd call it crazy. Ephesians 4:32, be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another as God in Christ forgave you. We are called not to seek revenge, but to forgive. Oh, and that is hard. That is difficult. And Emily is going to come in the second half of this message and talk about that deeper. But what I want to do is this, maybe just give you a tidbit, maybe a secret of how we might be able to win at this whole challenging thing of forgiveness. And Russell Wilson gives us just a little bit of a sneak peek in how we can do that. Russell Wilson has a saying. He says, the separation is in. Come on, 12s. The separation is in the preparation. The separation is in the preparation. And what he's talking about is, he says, you know what, in the challenge that he faces, NFL game and all of that, and how difficult it is, and all those challenges, the greatest factor for winning is not what takes place on Sunday in that arena. It's what happens at practice and preseason. That's the separation. The win, the difference, is in the preparation. And Scripture teaches the same thing when it comes to forgiveness. It says you have to have your mind and your heart set, ready, prepared, if you're going to succeed, because it really hits deep, deep nerves when we bump into each other. Proverbs 19:11. In this right place, you know, getting our mind right. What is it? It's this. It's not being easily offended. Okay? It's not being easily offended. It's not being too sensitive. Right? You with me? Okay? It's not being too sensitive. Not being easily offended. Proverbs 19:11. Good sense makes one slow to anger, and it is his glory to overlook an offense. And overlook here says, you know, to don't get caught up in it, you know, go by it, you know, get around it, you know, move through, just get by it. Don't get caught up in it. In fact, the word come, or the meaning from this is from a Greek word called scandalon, and it basically means trap, okay? And you guys are like this, okay? You older folks, I discovered something, okay? This is the new mousetrap. Remember the little wooden ones with the little thing there? Remember how terrifying those were to set? Man, so this is it right here. Just so you know, they sell these now. If you didn't know, I didn't know. I'm excited, okay? Technology, okay? Who needs the internet when we have these, right? So here's the deal, okay? A scandal and not being easily offended. And what it particularly is talking about, if you look at this, we'll do it this way. I don't know if you can see. You can see it up there, okay? That little pan, they call it, it's the trigger of the trap. That's what it's talking about, an offense, not being easily offended. It's don't trigger the trap, okay? Because guess what? Are you going to be offended? Yeah. Should you be offended? Yes, right? But it says, you know what? We can't be easily offended. That's what it's getting at here. Don't trigger that trap. Because here's this, when we trigger the trap because we're easily offended, what happens? It gets a hold of us, right? It grips us. And just think, when you get offended, what happens? Boom. All of a sudden, you're caught. You're got. You know? And then what it does is it starts to take you away. Takes you to a place that you don't want to go. It knocks you off course. It drags you away from what God has and who you are, who you want to be. And it begins to destroy. It destroys relationship. Relationship with God, with other people. And even destroys our relationship with ourselves. You guys know it just eats when we're easily offended, and so what Scripture is saying, we've got to avoid that, of triggering that trap. So what happens if we get bumped into? I just want to give you a couple things to think about, and Emily's going to grab this in more depth for us, and that's to see Jesus and to show Jesus, okay? 1 John 4:19 says this, we love because he first loved us. And what we see in there is we get to see us in Jesus, we see Jesus in us, and we get to see Jesus in other people. That's what that scripture is kind of guiding us to. And we need to see Jesus in ourselves, and we get that bump, that offense. What we have to understand is this, okay? Jesus loves us, okay? He created us. You know, we are fearfully and wonderfully made. We are his workmanship. That means we are finely crafted, we're masterpieces. So when someone comes at me and says, hey, you're this, so you know what? You don't get to define me. I don't need you to affirm me. I don't need your acceptance because I'm accepted by God. He loves me. He created me. If you got a problem with this, go talk to him. He did it, right? Amen. You know, there's that old saying when you're a kid, remember? I'm rubber, you're glue. Come on, remember that one? What that means is this, it's perfect for this, it's good. You can say whatever you want because of I am defined by Jesus. It doesn't get in, it bounces off, and that's on you. You got to deal with that. You got to deal with that. I don't have to because I am accepted. I am affirmed by Jesus because he loves me. But we also got to see Jesus in them, okay? We just understand this is, guess what? As we are a masterpiece in process, and he's working us so easy on them, so he's working on people. So a lot of times we come in and we get that bump and that offense. Guess what? That is just like, it's like an iceberg. It's just part of the story. It's not the whole story. Someone comes in, boom, they hit you. Ah, you know what? They could have had a horrible day. You know, you kids, man, I can't tell you how often the kid's just a mean and he's a bully. And all of a sudden you find out his home life stinks. You know, his life is horrible. No one's taught him. He doesn't even know how. He's just reaching out for attention somewhere. That's the whole story. And we just, ouch, he just did this. So what God says, I want you to see the big picture, okay? Give him grace. Give him mercy like we have, okay? So we know. And it just slows us up to not be easily offended. And the second part of this is to show Jesus. In John 13, Jesus here is gonna wash the disciples' feet right before he goes to the cross. After washing their feet, he put on his robe again and sat down and asked, do you understand what I was doing? You call me teacher and Lord, and you are right, because that's what I am. And since I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you ought to wash each other's feet. I have given you an example to follow. Do as I have done to you. And I don't want to offend the disciples, but here's the thing about Jesus kind of doing. He says, you know what? You guys are kind of offensive. You knuckleheads, you've been not getting it, asking for power positions, you know, running around, even, you know, called Peter Satan, you know, right? Said, you knuckleheads, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to choose love. Though you may not deserve it, may you have offended me, but I'm going to choose love. I'm going to choose love in spite of your actions. And when someone bumps us, offends us, we get a chance to choose love. Great story. The first denomination I worked for was the Evangelical Free Church of America, and we were at a regional gathering, and a pastor told us this story. It's a great story. He said that their church is right across the street from a large high school, public school. And in the back of the church was a stairway that went down into their basement where their kind of fellowship hall was. And the unruly kids, you know the kids I'm talking about, right? They started gathering there during lunch. Okay, and so they were dropping cigarette butts and carving names in the wall and writing this and that and garbage everywhere. So, you know, someone would go by once and ask them to not do that, and they kept doing it. They put a little sign up there saying, you know, listen, not or whatever. They kept gathering, right? And so you're going to make a big church decision. And how they operated, they'd get most of the congregation together. And so they were going to call the cops and charge them with trespassing. So they're just about at that conversation. And from the back of the room, a little old lady raises her hand. And I wish I knew a little old lady's name. Okay, so just put it, I don't know what her name was. She says, can I make them cookies? And the senior pastor says, what do you say? Okay. So this little old lady, during lunch, would make cookies and go out there and hand these kids a plate of cookies. And they walk and go back inside. Eventually, a couple ladies joined her, and they would leave the door open and bring cookies to these kids. Those kids, in short order, started coming inside, okay? And then other kids from different social groups and cliques started coming. Soon, that basement was filled with the whole spectrum of students from this high school in there. There are no cigarette butts on that floor. There's no scratches in the wall. There's no garbage anywhere. There is a start of this amazing ministry because a little old lady chose cookies over cops. She chose to love, and she saw something far greater, okay? She believed the best of them, and something amazing happened. And so for us, as we go through this life in this world, if we do these things, if we'll see Jesus in everything, when we get bumped, if we'll show Jesus when people bump us, okay? What happens is we start creating, by that preparation, okay? A separation, a win, a victory, so that we aren't easily offended and we're not caught in the trap, right? God bless you guys.
I'm so happy to see you forgiving each other.
It makes me want to sing. Do you mind?
No!
That in love we can forgive. It is the only way to live. Obey God and see that we can live in harmony. Since God has forgiven us, it's true. You forgive me, I'll forgive you. I'm gonna start to show forgiveness from my heart.
G-Tail fans! That's the last service, and I was a little bit disappointed. How many kids are still watching VeggieTales? Okay, I see lots of not kids raising their hand. Thank you for your support. Love you. Well, I had a plan originally about how I was going to go about talking about the subject of forgiveness, and I was going to go along the lines of, like, you know, have some points, and what is forgiveness, and how do we forgive, but Holy Spirit was really talking to me this week, and I'm pretty sure everyone in this room knows and understands what forgiveness is. Am I correct? Even the littlest kids, I think you understand probably the concept of forgiveness. And so I really felt like he just wanted me to address you guys like a family. And he has been pouring his heart into mine so that I can share my heart with you this morning, which I hope that's okay. So more than just knowledge and understanding about the topic of forgiveness, I hope to leave you guys inspired to who God has created us to be, who we are in Him, because it's a really powerful thing, the way that He calls us to live. But I don't think you can have too much prayer in life, especially in a church service. So I'm going to start me off by praying one more time, if that's all right with y'all. Let's all pray together. Holy Spirit, I just thank you for this opportunity that you would use me in this capacity with all my friends and family here. God, I just ask in the name of Jesus that you would fill my mouth with your words, and that whatever you have to say to every heart in this room would stick, and whatever is not from you would just be burned away and thrown in the trash. God, I thank you for our identity, and I thank you for breathing new life into us in the name of Jesus. Amen. I want to know if you agree with me. I've grown up in the church, and so I've had the opportunity to visit a lot of different churches, and I've kind of seen what's happening right now. And I have been a little heartbroken about where the church is, because Jesus has opened my eyes to the reality of what we are supposed to be living in every single day as Christians, and yet there seems to be something that's blocking us from getting there. There's this wall that we keep coming up against that's preventing us from living in the fullness of what he wants for us. Would you guys agree with that? Good, because I don't want to speak to something you don't agree with. It won't make much sense. My dad turned me to Colossians 3 a couple years ago because he was freaking out about it. He's like, it just says right there what the Christian life is supposed to look like. He just, like, sometimes we're like, what am I supposed to do? God's will. And we're just, it's just so simple. It's so right here. This is a clear, beautiful picture of what we as Christians are supposed to be like. And it says, put on then, is God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, compassionate hearts, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience, bearing with one another, and if any of you has a complaint against another, forgiving each other as the Lord has forgiven you, so you must also forgive. Wouldn't that be a crazy world to live in? Especially among our church family, if every morning when we put on our clothes, we're also putting on patience, meekness, humility, the willingness to forgive. What if we lived in a continuous place of compassion and understanding? What if we couldn't wait for the opportunities to forgive people in our life? That even before an apology presents itself, we are ready with forgiveness in our hands to just throw in the faces of whoever is hurting or offending us. What's so crazy about the topic of forgiveness is a lot of times our minds go to the great big issues, like someone who lied to you or cheated or betrayed your trust. But forgiveness has so much to do with the really little things that affect us on a daily basis. And really, we start to define ourselves by these little things that we let get inside our hearts. Like, a big one we talk about in church a lot is traffic. And because most of us has been there, the person cuts us off and we go straight to what? Jesus, thank you for this person. Pray that you would just bless their lives right now. Show them who you are and who they are. No, we don't do that, do we? In fact, I've been in cars with people with a running commentary of every single other driver on the road, and I'm like, there's a common denominator here, and it's not them. But it's a different story for a different time. Or what about that coworker that you work with? You know, we all have that coworker that just kind of gets under our skin. And of course, I do not have that coworker because I work at a church, and we're all perfect. So I'm just talking to you guys out there, obviously. That person that you can so easily decide is the reason for your totally bad day. That there was a million things right that actually, like a million things that went right in your day, but you're letting this person continually offend you no matter what they do. And then what kind of tone do you set when you come home? Do you come home with a heart full of compassion for this person and they just really need Jesus? They're hurting, and so they're hurting other people. Or do you come home with the opportunity to share with your family all the ways that this person just is not great? You know, I'm pretty sure most people don't wake up in the morning and say to themselves, I think I'm going to be the worst today. It's just not a reality that people are living in. So why do we act like that is what they are doing? And I don't want to leave kids out of this either, because kids, it's really important to understand that when you're at school or even within your house with a brother or sister or your mom and dad, it's so easy. You're with these people all the time. So easy to get frustrated. And they do that thing that drives you crazy. And even at a young age, you get to choose. Am I going to respond in love, or am I going to instantly be offended? You get to choose how you're going to respond. And what are we talking about when we say forgiveness? I define it as forgiving a debt. Because when we get offended, we're saying, you did something wrong, so you owe me. You owe me something to make amends. But forgiveness says, you owe me nothing. I do not require anything of you to see who you truly are, and I choose to continue to love as Jesus calls me to. Because we will always, always, 100% of the time, Bible guarantees it, have people in our life that have the ability to offend us and frustrate us. That is 100% guaranteed. But we were never called to be a defensive people. In fact, God doesn't even need us to defend him. We're supposed to be offensive with our love. We're supposed to look different, but how is the world going to see it if we don't take up who we truly are? 2 Corinthians 5 tells us this. If you have your Bibles, I'd encourage you to turn there and make sure I'm not preaching something other than the word. But this is 2 Corinthians 5, 16 through 19. From now on, therefore, we regard no one according to the flesh. Even though we once regarded Christ according to the flesh, we regard him thus no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. All this is from God, who through Christ reconciled us to himself and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, in Christ, God was reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them, and entrusting to us the message of reconciliation. It is the craziest thing that the God of the universe, who can see every piece of our hearts and minds, every past sin we've committed, every scenario we play out in our head, those deep, dark things you want no one to hear or see, not only has he forgiven those things, but now he's entrusting us with this ministry. And when we say yes to God, we need to say yes to all of him. We need to say yes to what he has taken away, which is our guilt and shame for every wrong thing that we've ever done. And we need to say yes to what he's given us, which is this ministry he calls us to of reconciliation. How is the world going to know if we respond the same way that they do? How do we talk about people behind their backs? How do we treat them even when they continue to offend us? Are you genuinely kind and tender-hearted? Are you looking for opportunities to extend God's forgiveness? Or do you justify your anger and hurt because it's natural and you have people telling you that it's okay? Because I don't want to be the bearer of bad news, but we're a family. And I need to tell you that it's not okay. It's not okay to live in unforgiveness. It's not okay to have that bitterness in your heart. I don't care how little it is. It doesn't mean that you don't feel pain. It doesn't mean that you don't feel hurt. You need to deal with those things and not just shove them aside like God doesn't care, because he cares. He doesn't care to just shove them aside. He says, bring me into it and I'll walk you through it. But the truth and the reality that the cross bears has so much more weight than your hurt ever could. Jesus didn't die so that you would hold forgiveness as just an option for your life. He died so that it would become a part of who you are. It's impossible to live this way on our own. And that's why Jesus sent his Spirit. Sometimes we may feel it when it's easy, but to consistently live in a place of forgiveness requires the power of the Holy Spirit. And that's why he was sent to us. Because we can't do it on our own, and we can't look different from the world without his help. We are not meant to be just normal humans. We are meant to be supernatural beings that don't belong to this world, but belong to the kingdom of God. And that's not just a fake place that we talk about because it says so in the old book that we bring to church on Sunday mornings. The kingdom of God is at hand. Jesus tells us this. We need to live in the constant reality that that is true. That's not someday, that's now. He wants us to grasp it right now. And it's a daily choice that you're gonna have to make over and over again. But how do we live in that reality? It could be pretty simple, and I'm gonna break it down for you. The first thing is, you need to spend time with him. Pretty simple. How do you get to know somebody? You spend time with them, you talk to them. And I don't just mean for, 10 minutes in the morning, half an hour at night. And those things are good. I have nothing against those things. I do those things. But God isn't a piece of your day. He's not a piece of the pie. He's the filling. And his presence needs to be a constant revelation to us every second of every day. How do you want me to live in this moment, God? How do you want me to respond? He gives us so much freedom. So we don't have to seek his will, like, should I step with my right foot or my left foot? That's not the case. He just wants you to know who you are. And it's important to recognize also how much you've been forgiven of. We have this bad habit of putting different levels to different sins or different offenses. And well, at least what I'm doing isn't as bad as what they're doing, and what they did was way more hurtful than anything I've ever. Stop. Those are lies from the enemy. And you might have lived a really awesome life where you tried to do everything right, but Jesus still died just as much for the person who offended you as he did for you. We are all sinners and we all fall short. And the last thing is something Scott touched on, and that is we need to be able to be prepared to forgive. And that is such a big one. He's re-revealing it to me right now. Being prepared to forgive, because you will experience hurt. You will experience injustice. God tells us that. But that means you get the opportunity to prepare your heart to forgive. Jesus came to this world knowing what he was called to do, to reconcile us all back to the Father. And we are to be like him. We need to know our mission. He forgave us so we can forgive others. And one more important note I wanted to throw in here, and make sure you listen to me because we all struggle with this. Jesus forgave you so that you can forgive yourself. And we need to stop living in a place of guilt and shame over something that happened a long time ago or 5 minutes ago. He just says, turn around, I've made it better, I've made it clean. Something important that I learned a few years ago is that my opinion about myself is not more important than God's. So when we're holding on to those insecurities, that guilt, that shame, it's almost a form of pride, because you're saying, God, this is too much for you. And he said, no way, no way, it's done. Some of you might remember that I went on a mission trip to Australia. I shared a little bit about it a few years ago. And they had us do something really cool there. They had us think of people or situations in our lives that were still hurtful for us, things we were harboring unforgiveness against. So we all just kind of sat in silence and thought about those things and asking that God would like release us from it, and or just praying for our hearts to change. And something cool that happened is God gave me a picture, because I had a lot of people I needed to forgive. And I had very specific circumstances and instances of these certain people hurting me. And in every single one, I'd picture the place, and then Jesus would stand right in the middle of me and that person. And he was like transparent. And so I could see the person who was talking to me and hurting me. And there's Jesus standing there, and he's telling me, it's okay. They don't know what they're doing. I've forgiven them, but you just focus on me and you can forgive them too. So before we wrap everything up, I want to make sure we check back in with the Rileys and see what they're up to.